Matthew, the 16th chapter, and what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the church. In the Bible, I don't know whether you realize this, but the word church is found 75 times in the New Testament. I don't know whether you ever thought about that or not, but God has a lot to say about the church. In just about all of those situations, he's talking about the called out assembly. The called out assembly. The church is just not some invisible thing out there. We know that Jesus, and that's the first scripture we're going to use, we know that Jesus said he would build his church. He was not just necessarily talking about he was going to set a church building up and that was going to be his church. He's going to build his church. It's a worldwide thing that he's building. It's everywhere. But it's always in local congregations. That's the way God does it. And I think if we'll go through some of these scriptures, and that's what I want to do this morning concerning the church, I want to take some time to go through some of the scriptures where God talks about the church. I believe it'll help us to get a burden and a concern of how much Jesus loved the church and what he had to say about the church and what happens in the church. There's a lot of things he's told us. It is important, folks, that you be in church. I mean, you're here on Sunday morning. You're here Sunday school. I know you understand that. I know you know that. But there is so many people who is missing the boat because they won't come to church, and it's in church is where they learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And old Satan works hard. I mean, he works hard to keep people out of church. There's all kinds of reasons. You know, I used to have them before I got saved. I had all kinds of reasons why I didn't come to church, you know, and all kinds of things. So everybody has these excuses, I want to say, because they're usually not reasons, they're excuses. But we need to put those things aside and realize the importance of the church, the local church. So we're going to go through some of the scriptures. And first of all, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse, he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In each one of these that we're looking at, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You're familiar with most of this, and you understand that when Jesus said he would build his church, we always want to remember it is his. It is his church. And we should never forget that. It is his church. And also that the gates of hell. Now imagine, here's hell. Imagine gates up here. You see, we always, a lot of people get this all in reverse. They want to say when Satan attacks and comes against us, then we'll be able to stand firm. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying we must attack the gates of hell. Because this is Satan's kingdom. It's his kingdom on this earth. Amen? And we must, as the church, we must attack it. The gates cannot stand against God's church. They have to fall. So we need to understand that. As a church, needs to be on the go, on the offensive, not on the defensive. See, it's up to us to go forward, you see, and attack the gates of hell, you see, and go right out in the midst where old Satan has people so caught up in their lives and they're lost and they need Christ. We need to go out on an offensive and go and attack that and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's the principle of the church. Any other principle that you want to hear about the church is a false principle. It's not a place where we sit back and wait for just people to come and show up. It won't work. If you want to go around this community and communities all over this country and look at some of these churches where they're just sitting and waiting and hoping maybe somebody might show up, you're going to find these churches aren't doing anything. You're going to find they're in a situation many times where they're dying. And they're just sitting there existing to some degree. That's not the way God wants it. He wants us on the attack. He wants us going forward. That's what this visitation program is all about. Amen? That's what it's all about. And every single one of us should get involved in that. Every single one of us should be a part of that visitation program. Getting the Word of God out. Amen? See, because that's what God intends for us as God's people to do. We had spent quite a few weeks there on the subject of John the Baptist. And we took you back to John the Baptist and his beliefs and what he preached and what he taught. And the reason we did that is because Jesus is the one that said there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. He pointed us to him. Well, he wasn't pointing us to him because he was just a great man. He was pointing to him because of what he did and what he taught and what he believed. And he believed, of course, the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb of God. John the Baptist believed that, and we believe that today. You go back to those beliefs. We believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one that taketh away the sin of all the world. He's the one that does that, see. And so what we're saying is we need to realize the church is something that is not to stand still. It is to move forward, you see. So God said, Jesus said, I'll build my church. Well, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through folk like us. Now, he's the one building it. He's the one doing it. He's the one that has to save people. But he's going to do it through folk like us. But he is going to build his church. It's his. Amen? And let us never forget that. Okay, in Matthew 18. Again, we're just going to not, hopefully, I did on the first one, but hopefully not take a whole lot of time in each one of these. There is a lot of them, and we certainly won't get to all 75 of them. But anyway, in Matthew 18, the 17th verse, he says, and, well, let's go up to verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more that is in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. If you notice here, he talks about the church and talks about that the problems, after they've been discussed, after they've been handled in the proper way, could be brought to the church as a whole. Now, you must understand, most problems can be taken care of between two people if we follow the scriptural admonition here. Now, let me say this to you. I've seen this happen so many times. I've sat in my office time and time again and sat with people who were willing to listen to what the Bible said and be willing to follow the scripture, and things were smoothed out and taken care of. And you's never heard a word about it. I've also been in situations where they wasn't willing to. And when an individual is unwilling to do that, then that individual is responsible. That's when we take two or three witnesses that will be a witness to what is going on and be a blessing and a help. If they will not hear that, then we take them to the church. We still practice the fact that you take people out of church membership because they are not willing to live the right kind of life, not willing to straighten things out. We practice that because it's right. It's scriptural. We're not doing that to be unkind. I could tell you story after story of the months and sometime year that I have spent with an individual trying to help them and trying to bring them back to Christ. It's not our desire to hurt anybody. It's our desire to bring them back into the fellowship. That should be what we do. But there comes a time when something has to be done. Something has to take place. Well, God says, bring it to the church. Now, you see how important the church is? You see, what's important is this. When you bring it to the church, we as a church have to understand we're dealing with some things that need to be dealt with, and we need to do that in a scriptural way and a spiritual way. You see, the church must think spiritually, not carnally. See, the reason we bring it to the church is because God knows there's some people there, or should be some people there, who will think spiritually and biblically and handle it biblically and scripturally and spiritually. Amen? That's the way it ought to be handled. So is the church important? Yes, the church is important. God said when you got a problem and you can't get it straightened out, bring it to the church. Amen? That's the way we ought to do. Okay, then in Acts, let's go over to the book of Acts. Second chapter in the book of Acts. Second chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 42. He says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread, and house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a tremendous statement there. God wants the church added to daily. And of course, I believe the church is added unto daily across the country. I believe that. But God also wants that for us here. And he noticed only those who are saved should be added to the church. Those who are born again, he said, such as should be saved. In other words, when a person is saved, they're added to the church as they're saved. You do your best to find out and be sure to the best of your ability that the testimony they give is that they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They put their faith, their trust in Christ. As we know in the Bible, we talk about baptism. In other words, then they follow the Lord in baptism. They've been obedient to the Lord in baptism, and they add them to the church. It's a right thing to be a part of a local independent fundamental Baptist church. It's a right thing. It's just the right thing to do because God says so. So they was added daily. And again, that puts something in, I believe, in our heart that we ought to see is then our responsibility is as a church, as a group of people, we should every week do our best to see to it that people are brought into the church and have been saved and born again. Comes to the church, listens to the Word of God. It's our responsibility to do that. You know, in all seriousness, because I fought this earlier before I was become a preacher. I thought, well, now that'll be the preacher's job to get people into church. That's as false as can be. And God really showed me early in my Christian life, I'm as responsible to get people into the church as the preacher is. I'm just as responsible. As a church member, I'm just responsible. This wasn't written to preachers. That admonition was not written just to the preachers. It was to all of God's people. And the church is so important, and they ought to be brought in as they're saved. They ought to be brought in, you see, to the church. Amen. A local church where they can come and grow, you see. Now look in Acts 5, verse number 11. And I think most of you probably know this story of Ananias and Sapphira. Of course, this was the story where both of them was killed because of their dishonesty before God. But I want to show you what happened here, and I'm going, because it would take a long time to go through that. But in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. In other words, there's things that happen that the church ought to look around and say, you know what, great fear came upon the church. In other words, we ought to look at things happening today and in people's lives and things happen around the country in churches, and we ought to have some fear about that. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of wickedness that goes on in churches. That's uncalled for. Should not be. Amen? And that ought to bring fear to our hearts. That ought to make us be sure we want to straighten our lives out and keep our church right. Amen. So it's right for fear to come upon a church and realize they need to stand true, stand fast, do what's right, you see. And then in Acts, the 8th chapter, the verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Once you notice here, at that time, during that period of time, there was great persecution came upon the church. Now there's times of great persecution. There's all kinds of stories you could tell. You go back to these communist countries. You could go back to stories right here in America where there's persecution coming against certain churches because of their stand on the Bible. Persecution is beginning to increase. But I want to tell you, we're probably in America right now, we're probably less persecuted than most of the time. What I'm saying is, but I think it's moving in that direction. I think great persecution is moving our way. And the reason I believe that, because I find in the Bible, folks, I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about this preacher. I find it in the Bible. That's when the church truly grew. That's when the church truly did something for God, just when persecution came upon the church. For some reason, we get so lax when everything's going all right. We just do. We just get lax. We don't do everything we should do, and we don't get busy. But when persecution comes, it does something to the church. And if you notice in that story there, they were scattered about. Why? Because of the persecution. They went out, the Bible says, and preached Jesus everywhere. Everywhere they went. Why? Because of that great persecution that come up on the church. So there's going to be, the church, in other words, is going to be persecuted. You can count on it. Whether it's a low-level persecution, whether it's a high-level persecution, the church is going to be persecuted. Why? Because it's giving forth the Word of God. It's giving forth that which Satan hates. And the church is going to be persecuted. Satan's going to do everything he can to stir up trouble and hurt within the church and persecute the church. He's going to do that. Amen. That's his job. That's what he wants. That's what he desires, to see problems in the church and persecution against the church. That's what Satan wants. We just got to be sure that we don't bring that. We're not a part of the bringing of that. If that persecution comes from without, then we'll stand and do everything we need to do to stand. Amen. And face that persecution, because it will come. It absolutely will come. Amen. So anyway, Acts 8:3, he says, "And Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." Now, in that, when I read that verse of scripture, what I thought about was this. I thought, you notice how God associates the church with families? He said, if you notice there, he said he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. You see, what did God consider the church? Families. Men and women out here loving God. And though Satan came in, of course, using Saul at that time, using Saul to come in and cause havoc, bringing individuals into prison, men and women alike, bring them into prison. Why? Because they believed in Jesus. They believed the way. So again, I thought, what a wonderful thing. That's the church, you see. It's not this building, folk. It's you folk. It's people that come into the church and come and love the Lord here and worship God and serve Him here. That's the church. This building's a wonderful thing. We got to have it to have a place to meet. But it isn't the church. Amen? It's people. And I think that's what God taught us there in that verse of Scripture. Go over with me to Acts 11th chapter, please. 22nd verse. I'm going to go back and read verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of to none but unto the Jew only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things come unto the ear of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Down in Antioch, there was some wonderful things happening. If you notice, the hand of the Lord was on him. Great numbers believed. But I like what it said. It said, "The tidings of these things come unto the ear of the church." It's good for us to get reports from other places. You've just heard some reports in the last couple of weeks from other places. You've heard missionaries that's come in here. And I want you to hear those voices. I want you to hear other reports from other places that comes in and says, "Here's what God is doing here. Here's what God is doing down in Mexico. Here's what God wants to do down in Central America." You understand what I'm saying? These are important. Here's what God is doing down in the prisons down in Texas. You bring reports in of what God is doing and how He's moving. And that encourages the church. I believe it does. Encourages me anyway. Amen. And that's important that we hear reports from other places. Luke will be coming back here in December. I think he's leaving the 6th. Am I right on that, Bob? Or sure?
He'll be back to our house
the 26th. But isn't he coming back to America? The 12th. So he's coming back. He's coming back in, and there'll be a report, you know. And he's not on the mission field yet in some degree, and he's out of language school. But it's good to hear reports. What's going on? Well, I love to read the letters when the missionaries, we put them up on the board back here. I love to read their letters. Get a report. What's God doing? That's what we're supposed to do. Hear with our ears, amen? here and get a report from the other places of the country. They was thrilled that that was going on at Antioch. And they said, okay, Barnabas, you go down there. You check this all out. And you help them down there. Help teach them down there. And that's what Barnabas did. You see, so anyway, it's the church needs that reports from the foreign lands, you see, other places. Then in chapter 11, verse number 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You notice there again, the church assembles itself. The church assembled together. All through the scripture, it is right. You hear your preacher preach it, but sometimes I think it just kind of floats out there in the air and don't mean a whole lot. Maybe it does, but you hear your preacher preach all the time. You know, assemble yourselves together. Why? It's scriptural. It's what God expects us to do. We're to get together and assemble and be taught the Word of God. That's what he did here. He said for a whole year here, he taught them the Word of God. Amen. That's what the church assembles for, to be taught the Word of God. Amen. To be encouraged, yes, and all those things, but to be taught God's Word. I'm convinced, and I say it all the time, I'm convinced, folks, we just got to get settled in the Word of God. We got to get our people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church settled in the Word of God. You know what my desire is for you? When you go out there in life, when you leave here, when you go tomorrow and start your work, I want you to make every decision that you make based on the principles of the Word of God. That you will stop and say, would Jesus do this? Is this what it would be best? Is this how God would have me handle this thing? Is this how I should react to something that's happened to my life? Put God in everything that you do. See, let him be the one. See, and the only way you're going to do that is be taught the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Find out what are the principles of God's Word. That's the only way you're going to be able to do that. You're not going to do it anyway. You're going to handle it carnally if you don't. You're going to handle it in a way that's not scriptural if you don't know the Bible and you're not willing to apply the Bible. So it's important that we get together, assemble together, be taught the Word of God. All right. Then also in Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand and vexed certain of the church. Now, once again, you notice he said he vexed the church. He came against the church. In fact, to the point, if you'll notice that he, in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And if you notice in that verse of scripture, in verse number 1, he said he vexed certain of the church. You know why they killed James? You know why? Excuse me. Go ahead and say it. Joe? He was the leader of the church at Jerusalem. And they killed him. You know why? Because a lot of times when leaders are killed, when leaders are put away, the other ones have a tendency to fall back. Do you know what they wanted to do after they got rid of James? Who was another important person at that time in the church there, around that area? Peter. They said, okay, we'll just kill him too. We'll put him in prison. We'll kill him too. See, he vexed certain of the church. So there's going to be persecution. I'm saying this. I know I'm standing here as a pastor saying this, but you need to pray for Christian leaders. You need to pray for those that are in leadership. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your assistant pastor. You need to pray. I mean, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray and ask God's help. We need that. Amen. Now, should you not be prayed for too? Absolutely. I'm not separated now. I'm not saying you should. We need to pray for each other. I know that. But you need to be sure and pray for your pastor, your assistant pastor, the leaders, because I want to tell you, that's where basically the attack is going to come. If they really want to get Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's where it's going to come. Okay? So I'm just saying to you, folks, there's persecution. There's people in America who are considered Christian leaders. I think back when John R. Rice traveled this country, people like Lester Rolhoff traveled this country, and had great influence upon multitudes of people. Now, don't you think for one moment that old Satan would just love to get at them? Get at those who are out there in leadership responsibility, not just influencing maybe one church, but is influencing a nation for Christ. Can I say this and say it, I hope, humbly and say it rightly? You don't have the national leaders religiously that we used to have. We don't have the men of God like John R. Rice and Lester Roloff out here that is having the influence on America that we used to have. We don't have them. Many of them has died off. God's allowed them to die. We don't have. You look around. You just look around. You see people who are being used. There's no doubt about that. But they don't have the national attention. That's dangerous. Satan's really done a work. It's serious business. We need some men of God that God can raise up to not just only reach a church, the local church, but have an effect upon a nation. And we need that. Amen? We really need that. Well, God says he vexes those, or he comes in and vexes certain of the church. So again, I'm saying to you, please, please pray for those whom God is using in a great way to touch multitudes of hearts. They need your prayers. Amen. And certainly this pastor needs your prayers. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, he says that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you know the story, how they arrested Peter and put him in prison. And you notice what happened. What got him out of there? Prayer of the church. Prayer of the church. The church began to pray. And they offered up prayers unto God. And God sent an angel and took Peter right out of that jail and set him loose. And it's because the people of the church, you see, that's important, folks. The church of Jerusalem there was praying. They were praying. They got together and prayed. And God heard their prayer and answered their prayer. Whether you understand this or not, let me make a statement again. I've made it a few times, not a whole lot. But the power of the pulpit is in the pew. Oh, yes, it is. That's where the power is going to come from when you pray. Oh, I know I've got to pray. I know I've got to do right. I've got to study. I've got to do all those things. But I want to tell you something. If you want power in your pulpit, you pray. Amen? And the church, you notice that? The church got together and they prayed and God sent a miracle, an angel of God, sent him down and turned him loose. Because the church prayed. Amen? So again, are we a praying church? Do we pray? Do we get a hold of God and pray every day? Amen? That's important, folks. All right, then in chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahan, which has been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. Now you notice there when it talks about the church that were in the church, he talks about those people that were in the church. They were teachers. It's important that you have teachers of the Word of God in the church. That's important you have that. It's right for our little children as we send them down to their Sunday school classes and dismiss them down to their Sunday, that you have good teachers that will teach the Bible, the Word of God to them. Because seed is being sowed in their hearts for the rest of their life at an early age. Little things are being said to them. Songs are being sung that they'll sing for the rest of their life. And teachings about Jesus Christ is being taught in the Sunday school classes. That's why we've got to be teachers of the Word of God, and we've got to do it right and teach the Word of God right, because we got such a responsibility there, because we got young people being going through this church and hearing about God. See, and there was teachers in the church here. That's important. They be teachers in the church that teach people the Word of God. There's churches across this land that are absolutely starving to death spiritually. They're never taught anything from the Bible. They're given some principles and little things and ideas and plans that man has, instead of taking the Bible and say, this is what God says about this, and this is what we ought to do. Amen? So here we find a church filled with people who were teachers that taught them the Bible, the Word of God. Chapter 14, please, verse 23. Barnabas, and Silas was involved in this, but they traveled throughout the land, and they started churches. They went into different places. This wonderful chapter here, chapter 14, is a wonderful chapter telling about how they started churches, and they preached the Word of God just here and there, and churches were started, and they went back to these churches and confirmed these churches. In other words, make sure that they was doing all right and sticking with the Bible. And what they did was they ordained those, he said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that's in verse 22, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. But they was to ordain them elders in every church. That is the word elder. Word elder is a word for the pastor, the elder, the teacher, the one who leads the church, the bishop. And it says that every church needs a pastor. Every church needs an elder, somebody to stand and lead the church. Every church needs that. It's a dangerous thing. I see it happen all the time. But I see churches get without a pastor. And pretty soon, time goes on. They go on, and time goes on. Oh, that's dangerous. You need an elder. You need someone who comes in to lead the church. You need that. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. That's just the way God set it up. That's the way he does it. So they came back through these churches and made sure there was an elder there, somebody who was going to lead that church. Amen? So that's important to the church. You see, all of these things that God is saying about the church, and we haven't touched very many of them. I think I'll probably go to about one more here, but we haven't touched a whole lot of them. But folks, he has so much to say about the church and the importance of the church and what should happen in the church. Look at verse number 27. There in chapter 14. And he says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And again, you notice here that he said they gathered the church together. You know, I can't stress it enough. Don't make a difference if people doesn't believe it because God believes it. It is absolutely imperative that people gather together in church. That's imperative. The only way a person's going to grow is if they gather together in church. It isn't going to happen any other way. They say, well, I'll read the Bible at home. I'll do this. No. You can do that. That's what you ought to do. You ought to read the Bible, but you'll never grow outside of a local church. You'll never do it. That's God's plan. He's the one who has ordained that. And it says they gathered together and rehearsed all that God had done among them. Boy, isn't that good to just hear the goodness of God? Isn't it good to hear the reports of what God is doing? And even sometimes when there's persecution, we hear about it. And we're encouraged to help pray for those who are going through this. I'm just simply saying to you, it's right to hear, rehearse in our ears the things that's going on. It's right for me. I try to on Sunday night get up and say, boy, wasn't God good to us this morning? Look what God did this morning. We got to see someone baptized. We got to see someone saved this morning. We got to see this. God did this. God honored himself through the services. That's right. That's good. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to rehearse it in the ears of God's people. Amen. See, so that's what the church is all about. Well, see, if you wasn't in church, you'd miss all that. I mean, you'd miss all that. You'd miss all that encouragement and help and blessing, you see, from God. You'd miss it, you see. And God don't want you to miss it. Amen. Now, I'm talking to people who's already here. But I'm just saying, it's right. It's right to be in church. If we could just get young converts after they get saved, just get them in church. Just every time they can get in church, just be in church. Hear the Word of God. They grow just a little more. They're encouraged just a little more. Amen. And it takes time to grow, don't it? Amen. So church important? Yes, it is. All right, I got to close.